Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I am unashamed. What about you?
So welcome back to Unashamed. We still got Jace out on mission, story, fact finding. Well, I can't say fact finding mission because there's very few facts. Right. But he is out there to find some stories. He's finishing up his little treasure show. So in his absence, we're having some special guests on. And babe, what is the number one thing? You and I are on the road a lot, especially here lately. What's the number one thing Unashamed fans tell us when they first meet us and they're, oh, I listen to Unashamed. What do they say is their favorite thing? What do we need more of? We hear it from almost every person we talk to.
The women.
More women.
We like it when
the
women are on.
Did you hear that, Phil? More women.
We love it with the wives. And so, from your mouth to our ears, We have Lisa and Miss Kay, Mom.
I'm wearing my camouflage.
I see that. Mm-hmm. Is this for Veterans Day? Yep. We just had Veterans Day.
In honor of Veterans Day.
This past
Veterans
weekend.
Day, yeah.
And they were calling it camo something. Camo, what was the tagline?
It's funny seeing a lot of people in camo that usually aren't in camo.
Now, is yours designer camo, Mom?
Yeah, is that what it is.
Yeah. So what's the over and under? How much did that blouse cost, more than $20 or less than $20?
I don't know that she has anything that costs less than $20. Not clothes-wise, anyway.
Thank you, Lisa.
I don't know about women's
fashion. I don't
either.
So I'm just saying. I wouldn't know. I don't have anything that costs less.
I guess you go to Goodwill.
It falls apart if it's too cheap and shrinks. I don't need anything to shrink.
You need things that enlarge.
Yeah. Stay big. Yeah. You buy it, let it stay that size.
Well, we like to get expanding clothes is what we like. Yeah. I like flexibility is what I like.
Stretchable.
Stretchable, there you go.
Stretchy pants.
Stretchy pants, that's her favorite. Lisa's getting all skinny. She's been on
a good
diet. She's been losing weight. And I've been on it with her, but I hadn't been quite as successful as she has. And Mom, look what's out.
I know.
The blind DVD.
I know. I need to get some. I love that.
Mom says, I show them to her, and she says, can I get some of those? And I was like, have you done enough? Have you done enough to deserve some DVDs, Mom?
I'll buy them wholesale.
You don't even have to buy them. I'm sure we can get them. So we were mentioning before we came on air, Mom, that how much the actresses look like you. Because there were three different actresses that played you from child to teen to adult. And I think the middle one probably looks the most like you with the smile and looks a lot like Scylla and Jep's smile. But this older actress that played you.
Yeah, she.
I don't know. She was my favorite in the film.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought she, because all actors try to get as much like the person.
She just captured even the little things about me. It was amazing.
She captured Kay's spirit.
Yes, she did.
It was I didn't get to meet her, so maybe one day I will. But I just want to tell her she did a great job because I felt like watching the film, Mom, that she captured your optimism.
I did too.
So well, because it was going to be okay, it was all right, and even when you're starting to sense things are going off the rails, it's like no, it's okay.
It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be good.
I know, and I knew I was like that, but when you see somebody be just like you, then you're thinking, I really am like that. Yeah. It's really strange.
And I love that the film highlighted your love for Life magazine, that you've always had a commitment to reading Life. And
I never have an iPhone. I don't even know where you can get it.
I don't know that they even have it anymore.
I mean, it was funny because, so we're at the, I may have mentioned this, but we're at the theater watching, and Lisa and I are a couple of rows behind Mom and Dad, and it's they're laying in bed, and Mom's reading, the actress is reading a Life magazine, and Mom's like, I've never read one of those in my life.
I know. I don't even know where you can get them.
Oh.
So, anyway, that's an inside joke. Mom uh-huh. doesn't know about Life magazine.
I don't.
What should it have been? What do you even read?
Good Housekeeping.
Good Housekeeping.
Southern Living.
Okay, so if it had been that, mm-hmm. you might have. Because
I don't know. At that age, she might have been reading Teen Beat.
Ooh, or Cosmopolitan.
I always liked, even when I was young. That's why I liked Cooking with Nanny and everything. I mean, I like things like that.
Yeah. It's funny you said Teen Beat because we had Kirk Cameron was on the mm-hmm. last podcast, and I asked him about that because I was like, I mean, you were the guy with the posters. You know, were too old, I guess, because we were married by the time that came out. Yeah. But you had your little ones. Who is it from your era? Sean Cassidy.
And then
Leif Erickson.
Garrett.
Leif Garrett?
Leif. I think his name was Garrett.
I thought it was Leif Erickson. No. But anyway,
I don't know.
Remember
you had your little posters and your little squealing.
If I would have had one of you, that would have been it.
Oh, yeah. If only I had known to make some posters back then.
Yeah, we were so big, famous.
Oh, yeah. I could have sold tens of posters. Oh, no, Leif Erickson is an explorer.
Yeah. No, I wasn't into exploring.
Yeah, I don't know that there's any. Leif Erickson was too old for that. So
I think his name was Garrett.
Leif Garrett, okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah.
Then we get to that. But yeah,
I guess ours would be Elvis Presley. And
well, I mentioned to Curry, I said, I guess Elvis started it with the squealing and the like the swooning and the teen girls. And
dancing.
Yeah, that was all. Which, that was your era. Were you an Elvis fan?
Not that much.
You didn't like him?
I like his some songs, but I thought
but you weren't like infatuated with it and all that. Because as you were like, Lisa,
not
you had
my
the,
type.
You had the real deal right here.
Yeah.
You had your Pioneer Man.
Mm-hmm.
You remember those days, Dad?
Oh, he does not.
We, like now, it took about this long.
Yeah.
So did you like Elvis when he first came out? Or
no.
So
you said you liked that. Was it Blue Hawaii or something like that? There was one of those songs, and I told you I liked that.
Well, didn't Elvis, when he was super young, probably gospel era Elvis, didn't he sing at the Louisiana Hayride?
Hayride and Shreveport.
I went to Shreveport.
Shreveport, Louisiana.
Some of my kin folks, young girls, some of them, but there was a few adults there, but we went to see Elvis. I remember they took a handkerchief and removed dust from a Cadillac he had drove up there in, you know.
And
I just remember them getting capped on a little dust, you know.
Yeah. Well, you remember.
It's a pretty good deal for Elvis because not only was it a memento for them, but he got his car cleaned, which is really, you know, important.
And you know, Rhonda Williams, our friend, got a necklace from Elvis Presley. She was at a concert.
She was just a child.
Yeah, and I think maybe he gave her
so what he did
something
was
small.
He took off the handkerchief.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Because he used to wear the handkerchief.
Yeah.
Took off the handkerchief, and as he's giving it to her, and she's a little, 10-year-old girl maybe at the
maybe
time?
Maybe 7 or 8. I can't remember.
A little young
remember.
Girl. Yeah. And so she's been right there on the front row, and she loves Elvis. Her mom loves Elvis. So he hands her the handkerchief. Well, some woman snatches it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it offended Elvis. You know, he's trying to give it to a little kid. And so, you know, again, who knows? It's like people that should know better.
Right.
So then he calls her up on stage
and
then takes off his necklace that he was wearing, which was probably worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
And this would have probably been in the early 70s maybe with Rhonda. Uh-huh. She's almost our age. And put it around her neck, like try to take this. And she kept it for a long, long time. And then I think she finally sold it or auctioned it or something. But
she got a good bit for it.
She started a restaurant with it.
Yeah, she did.
So, you know, the good thing about Elvis, he was still funding the regime long after he had gone on, right? Which is good for Rhonda. Mm-hmm. She loved that. So tell me about what's going on in y'all's lives. I mean, this is, we hadn't had y'all on in a while.
Well, for me, work. We've been traveling. You and I have been traveling. We just celebrated. Phil, listen to this. Al and I just celebrated 39 years of marriage.
Last week.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
Nearly 40 years.
39 years.
39.
It seemed like only yesterday, didn't it?
It went just like that.
If it could be any more blissful, I would be a blister.
Yeah.
That's how blissful those 39 years have been.
39.
Woo.
So we celebrated that, and then...
In a very low-key day. I mean, we were just, we didn't have much going on. We went to the beach.
Shocker.
We had BK with us. Shocker. You know, which is funny, when you're 39 years of marriage and you know, your grandkids, you just take them with you. Yeah, which is fun.
They're just part of you.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny about BK, she went with us last week. We went down to the Southern Lair, and she had just come off a deer hunting trip with her dad and Si. And killed a deer that the head of that thing and the tines probably wouldn't fit on this table.
Oh, it was huge.
It was a massive animal. And so this still little BK, even though she's 16 now. And then I thought it was funny because then, so Lisa's working every day because she's trying to sell some houses down there. And so they said she wanted to go get her nails did. And so I was the only one who could take her. So I went with her. So we went from killing a deer massive animal to the nail salon. In the same week, so I'm sure Dad would have taken her.
Oh yeah, Dad would have done that.
So,
duck season opens this Saturday.
The ordeal, Mom. Are you excited? You don't even really register anymore. It doesn't even affect your life like it used to.
Yeah, unless he wakes me up at 4 a.m, which I wish he wouldn't. He'll be so excited at first, you'll make noise, and it'll get quieter.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the day, it was an ordeal for Mom because all the hunters would come to the house, and there
Nightmare
would be
city.
Blowing duck calls, laughing, telling stories.
I really could have shot somebody if I wanted.
Yeah, we've all mellowed through the years.
Yeah, now we've moved the operation over here.
Praise the Lord.
This is kind of the gathering place here now, make coffee over here.
We have eyes on the water we have over there. It's been a drought down in here. Everything dried up. I mean, literally dried up everything.
So but I've always thought
we had to pump it all back in there.
Well, I know it's costlier for now. You, Jason, Willie, we've talked about that on the podcast, pulling them into the pay regime.
Yeah, but which is hard.
If I'm not mistaken, and it's been a while since I hunted regularly, but we've always done better on low water years, right? Typically, if we have water. Because then ducks...
We've got eyes on the hole. This morning they showed up. They're deer hunting. So they're sitting up. They're elevated in binoculars. And they were watching. But this morning they saw mallards, big ducks, you know. A lot of wood ducks flying around there.
That's good.
So there's more... I pumped the water. And I've been pumping about a month.
Yep.
So after a month pumping...
There's enough water to hunt.
We've got enough to hunt.
So, Mom, people have asked us this before. A lot of women hunt, and a lot of them hunt with their husbands, like Martin and Brittany. They hunt together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you never were really into hunting.
I'm not a killer. Just not a killer. I can hardly kill a mouse.
So you just didn't, the whole idea. Now, we did film for the previous duck show previous the Benelli show. We did a women's hunt day, so it was you and Missy and Jason Dad, and then we hunted, me, Jep, and Willie hunted with our wives on another separate inside. But that's the only time you've ever been, wasn't it? Was on there,
so yeah,
you didn't want to go back.
I love how pretty it is.
Yeah.
I love seeing everything. But I know, I'm not crazy about I wouldn't want to shoot a gun. I'm just not a killer.
And do you like being cold and getting out there?
No, I hate it.
Like to That's fight. Me.
And I put on so much clothes, I couldn't even, I was double my size.
That's pretty good.
I couldn't even move.
Yeah, that's me. I'm not interested in getting up early. I'm not interested in listening to the sound of a gun being fired.
Right.
I'm not interested in getting cold.
But what about all
not interested in seeing snakes?
What about listening to Jason's stories all morning in the bubbler?
That would be the nail on the head. I would have to get away. I couldn't.
Lisa's like Missy. She said, "I can't listen to the podcast because of Jason's stories." Let's take a break. So I know that we're officially in the holiday season because on my last trip with Lisa, we actually did some Christmas shopping in a town we were in. We had a couple hours between events. And so that's when I know, right, when we're someplace and it's like, let's go buy some Christmas gifts. You know, that means, okay, we're doing this. This is the Christmas season.
I'm kind of a last-minute shopper, Al.
Yeah, you're kind of a hunter, right? Just go in, get your thing, do it at the end. But one of the things that we want to encourage folks to do this holiday season is to check out the Freedom Island Book Club from Brave Books. Because these are books designed to instill strong sense of morals and values in our children. You get a new value every month as you get a new book. And, Jace, you happen to know one of our Brave book authors very well.
My lovely wife. She helped create Because You're My Family.
There you go.
It's about bravery and family and It's really amazing.
Yeah, and it's got some lions. They're kind of the family of lions there, which I like that.
I think they tried to make the dad lion look like me. Missy did that, see, with the mane and the beard.
I think they did a pretty good job. So we would encourage you guys to check them out. Subscribe to the Freedom Island Book Club at bravebooks.com right now. You'll get Brave's newest book for free for a limited time when you subscribe. Use the code UNASHAMED. You're going to get 20% off your subscription. That's why I think they'll make great holiday gift to send to somebody so that they can get a year's worth of these great books. Bravebooks.com. Use the code UNASHAMED for 20% off your subscription. Check it out. Well, since Jace isn't here, Mom, so Maddie got him a toy that he loves. And this is... He loves doing this when Zach is on. Zach's not on today either. And when Zach uses a big word, or there are other ways he uses it, so this is me.
Oh, my God.
So that's his.
That means he didn't know.
That means he didn't know.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Well, I didn't even know you could buy that.
Yeah. Maddie found it somewhere. And so supposedly we've got another one for breaking news, Maddie, but we haven't received that one yet. But
I'll have a big pot of duck and dressing.
Oh yeah, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We usually have about, if you run it in a circle in a big pot, you'll have about at least 7 or 8 ducks, up to 10 if they're small ducks like teal.
Which are the best.
And I'm the one getting ready for that.
And who's the only one that eats the ducks?
When Peter looked up, he saw this heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down on earth by its four corners. Here comes a scream. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth. And here's the text of all text, and birds of the air.
Mm.
So there's your ducks.
Mm-hmm.
A voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. This is good to go for food.
Right.
So get after it.
So
that's the clearest thing you could find. Somebody says, well, you think it's right or wrong to shoot animals? Rise, kill and eat. Now, we're talking about ducks here, birds of the air, but all four-footed animals and reptiles of the earth. All kinds of stuff crawling around out there. But it's the way the world is.
So our traditions have changed a little because, like, for years and years and years, we had Thanksgiving at Granny and Paul's, which was next door. They've been gone for quite a while. It moved up the hill to y'all's house, which was for years. Now it's moved to town because there's so many of us, we can't fit in your house anymore.
Yep.
I mean, literally, especially Thanksgiving, we invite cousins as well. Yeah. So, you know, you're talking about probably 80 to 100 people.
That's
with
correct.
Our cousins that come. So, obviously, you got to have a Taj Mahal to be able to.
That's right. You know, Willie has one.
He's got a Taj Mahal. So now you bring, but we still have tradition. So Dad brings the duck and dressing.
I just bring one pot. It's a big one.
It's a big roaster.
Yeah, it'll feed 25.
So 30. tell the audience, Dad, because, I mean, it's not, when you think dressing, there's different, people think of different things in their mind. There's a dryer stuffing dressing people make,
yep.
And then there's what you make, which is Granny's recipe, Which it comes from duck fat. Is that what makes it so good,
do you
think?
Duck fat comes from ducks when you boil ducks.
Broth.
Big pot of water. By the time the ducks get tender, now you have a broth, basically a broth.
Yep.
Well, you bake cornbread, so about three big things of cornbread, some like stale, what would you call it?
French bread, bread.
Yeah, yeah. Well, bread. And you even toast it. I put it on at a, like 250 and put the bread in there.
That makes
you. And it just makes toast that you can crunch.
You put your broth back in, you stir it all in, you'll put a little bit of.
Get some veggies in there.
What'd you say?
The sage.
Sage.
You get that sage
in there. Just,
not too
you
much.
You don't get wild with that. Maybe a teaspoon, a little more. You take
no,
it.
Not
but
more.
It has a little, that cornbread in the duck fat all blended in together. It's
you got your onions.
It's quite the meal.
Onions, bell pepper, garlic, celery.
Bell pepper, garlic, celery, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
You cook that down or you just put that in raw and then it bakes
cook that. Cook that down.
Yeah. It's always best to cook those down a little bit because you get that flavor then.
Yeah, you begin to put all the ducks get ready, and you place the ducks back in. They're real tender. Your legs will come
up. Do you bake the ducks a little bit after you boil them to get a crisp on them? Or just
boil them,
when you
them
bake
out.
The dressing, you
I see,
the
then
ducks.
It makes
sense. Usually we'll put a little spread of.
And nobody eats the ducks but Phil.
Yeah.
My dad used to eat the ducks. Yeah. He loved the ducks too.
Oh, yeah.
No, and they're pretty good.
Not the young.
Teal are my favorite. Green winged teal. They make a real good or wood ducks.
Yeah, wood ducks are good. Yeah, we've got to where now Jay has introduced us to quite the brining system for the ducks to make them so good. It's kind of hard to just eat them in there, unless you grew up that way, which Dad did.
Yeah,
and I kind of did too. I mean, if I can eat it with dressing, then they're good. But if they're just on their own,
no,
not so much. Yep. So, Mom, what your traditional stuff is? Sweet potato pie, and you have to make enough for Jace to have his own pie, at least one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because he eats a whole pie.
I've seen Willie eat a whole pie, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's not.
Are you going to have sweet potato pies this time?
I'm going to try to. But I did tell Alex that I don't think I can make as many.
But you don't need to because now the rest of them make stuff, too. Used to, you were the whole show.
Well, that's right.
Now, but you are going to have to make enough to give your sons one on their own, or they'll just
go to high heaven.
Maybe she can just come down there and help you.
Yeah, she could. She could, and I would do that, but I just want her to help make something else different, too, you know, for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa and I were watching Triple D the other day. It's my favorite show.
I mean, the phrase, I don't know where they got it from. You probably can look it up. I don't know how long. Thanksgiving, as you know, Thanksgiving. That's pretty good two words to put together.
Uh-huh. They claim it goes back all the way pre-country to the late 1600s.
Yeah.
When the bounty would be there and, you know, people would just be thankful they were here in America and all that, you know.
And they wanted to
the land of lost that type thing. And, you know, you have a meal that you take out of the woods of your planet Earth.
But, you know, you make a good point, Dad. Here's another thing about Thanksgiving. I think this is – it's not, like, intentional, like there's a cabal out there, but there's a move now. So you got Halloween. Everything's about commercialization now. Mm-hmm. So you got Halloween, which is all about candy and selling stuff and decorations and all that. And now there's a move to start Christmas literally the day after Halloween.
I know.
And so what's happened is by doing that, and you're seeing it more with the ads and stuff, you're basically weeding out Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And the reason I think that is because it's the only non-commercialized holiday.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they made a big deal out of Black Friday, which is the next day to sell stuff. But you're right. It's a very humble idea of a holiday that, you know what, we're just thankful for what we have.
That's right.
But it and seems
this,
like to
this
me.
This comes direct from the woods, which if you look over the past, I mean, before everything got so, let's say, modern.
Yeah.
Before it got modern, it was a big thing to the pioneers and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they were traveling across the earth, going west, you know.
Well, and the reason why the turkey, I'm assuming, again, was part of it, is because that was the bird that was here.
Yep.
So, and when it's a big bird, feeds a lot of people. I mean, it's not always, you know, a lot of times turkey gets dry. I mean, you got to know what you're doing to cook a turkey. Of course, we fry ours now, which fried turkey are delicious because they maintain their juiciness, but they're crunchy on the outside.
Yeah, my nephew does that.
So how many will he fry up this year?
I don't know. I've got to meet up with
him. Three or four.
Four, I think.
Because, I mean, again, it takes a lot of turkey.
Yeah.
And ham.
It's unreal how we eat it.
My favorite's the leg after he fries it.
Oh, man, mine too.
Usually, if I'm over there where they're slicing it, I can pretty much get what I want before it ever gets put out.
That's right.
You got to be in the right spot. Yeah.
You always work.
You don't get a body like this without knowing where to hang out. You know what I'm saying?
I'm thinking too that, you know, our country is just not as thankful either.
That's
as a whole.
Not at all.
That's a great point.
So I think that's another reason why they want to skip from Halloween and then go to Christmas, you know?
But, Dad, you were talking about this in the last podcast, these folks on these college campuses. You know, I'd say there's probably hundreds of thousands, and unfortunately maybe even millions of people that aren't thankful that they're in America. They don't like this country.
You know what I tell them?
They literally don't take time to give honor where it's
due.
They
could almost have a holiday non-Thanksgiving. Like, we want to have a holiday where we bash America.
And the way it's done, a lot of people say, well, y'all shouldn't kill all these animals. You know, you shouldn't do it. But God said, here's who made these animals and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. Arise, kill, and eat. I mean, you have orders from headquarters that says be thankful.
But,
and a lot of people say, you know, you can't do that. Well, what they're actually saying is you don't have to be thankful.
And you make a good point because
they're not thankful.
Thanksgiving season falls in our hunting season where we live. Let's take another break. So it may be a little early for decorating for the holidays, although that seems to start earlier and earlier. But it's never too early to start your holiday shopping, especially when you're looking for the best deals of the season, especially before Black Friday. You can shop Raycon products, that's one of our sponsors here on the podcast, right now and save up to 50% off because of their early Black Friday sale, which is going on right now. We've talked about Raycon products before on the podcast, so we personally love their everyday earbuds, known for delivering high quality and thoughtful features like their 32-hour battery life and their perfect in-ear fit. So you get that all-day wear, lasting comfort. 5-star reviewed on many different sources. They got 100-watt power delivery. I've used them. My kids love them as well. Everyone in the holiday shopping spirit, get started a little bit early with Raycon. They're offering 20% off everything on their site with select products up to 50% off. So beat the crowds. You don't want to miss out on their early Black Friday sale. Hurry now to buyraycon.com/unashamed to get 20 to 50% off site-wide. That's buyraycon.com/unashamed to score up to 50% off Raycon products. Buyraycon.com/unashamed.
And here's the deal. What I want to tell these people that are so mad about America, here's the deal. You don't like America. Just quit bad-mouthing it, because it just makes me so mad because we were so blessed.
But, you know, another thing, though, Mom, that's being lost is we are sitting here talking about this meal, which unfortunately Lisa and I will miss this year for the first time, I don't know, maybe ever?
Ever, maybe.
Because we're going on a trip, and so we're actually going to be traveling on Thanksgiving Day.
We will be in Budapest.
Budapest, yeah. We're going to.
That sounds scary.
Yeah, it's in Hungary. Which I'll be hungry.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to eat on Thanksgiving.
But I don't even know exactly where that's located, but I can look it at.
And now we're three generations deep. Like, so Bella, well, she cooks like Willie's cheesy bread. And now, like, your grandkids and now ultimately great grandkids will start bringing food. But the idea of a big meal together and gathering was important, and it always has been. But that's predicated on the idea that people cook and have meals, and then they kind of pass that on. But we're losing that too.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so Lisa and I, when we were in Gulf Shores a few years ago, and right before Thanksgiving, before we came home, and there's a big thing down there about restaurants that provide all the cooking. So these are people, snowbirds and people that aren't with their family, but nobody cooks.
No.
And so they all want to go to the restaurant. Well, you can't even book a restaurant in Gulf Shores, Alabama for a Thanksgiving meal because they're all packed. You got to
do it
6 months
before.
Or a year in advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of.
They don't know how to cook anymore.
They don't. And so a lot of those are older people.
Yeah.
So you're starting to see this trend of getting away from the idea of a meal, hospitality, you know, so it should make y'all feel good that your progeny, your generations going forward, have picked up what y'all left.
We're still cooking.
And we're still cooking. Mm. And they're still cooking. And of course, Dad talks about it all the time. He hears us talking about something we had for supper last night. And Dad's like, man, y'all are eating good in the neighborhood. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we trained down generations. Now my kids cook for me. You know, as good as Lisa can or you could, Mom. So, it's a way. Of course, now everybody's trying to get all of Mom's recipes and Dad's. I don't know. Has anybody learned how to make the dressing yet? Somebody's got to learn how to do that.
Willie would have to watch that being done.
Yeah.
Willie would think he could do it.
Yeah. Next year, I'll come watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to keep that tradition alive.
See, when Willie made some and kind of hid it because he likes Phil to have the main dressing out. But when he did that, I was like, what is in that dressing, Willie? Because he hid it. And he just let us try it. Seafood. You know, he's trying the new seafood dressing.
Yeah. Ooh, seafood dressing.
Now, Phil, but he wasn't ready to release it to the
If Phil wants world. To do it early, I'll come help him on Monday.
There you go. All right, next year it's a date. We're going to make it happen. So
this next Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, we're there, Dad.
Yep.
You got to get ready. I guess so that means that I guess this Saturday is opening day of duck season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting.
The biggest thing is finding
depending on how many ducks we get.
Yeah.
You know, we got that big Magnolite pot.
Yeah,
only
the roaster.
Yes.
Yep. Got to get a roaster.
We have to locate that every time.
Yeah.
Because you don't use it any other time of the year.
No, and it gets piled over.
Yeah.
I can't imagine stuff piling up at your house, Dad. That seems unusual.
Isn't that a shocker?
The Cajuns would call it the GJ. The part of you get the livers, you get the livers, and
the Gigi.
Never
heard of that.
Yeah, you get.
Sounds like me mispronouncing
the gizzard, heart, liver.
You peel that hide off the gizzard,
and
cut it up, you know, and you cook it long, it'll get tender.
The giblets, some people call it the giblets.
That'll kind of
giblet gravy.
Yeah. I used to eat gizzards.
Lisa like chicken gizzard.
Yeah,
I did too.
I think it was KFC and churches used to sell gizzards.
You can't find them, I bet, anymore. Gizzards. Sometimes a filling station will have them.
Yeah.
You know, usually like an old black woman cooking back there.
Food.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Because they know what's good. So I guess I need to mention too, before we get to our text, that we traveled together for the first time in forever. A couple of Saturdays ago, we went to Vegas.
Yep.
And spoke at a big church there. It wasn't in Vegas, but it was like just outside Vegas. Yep. But we flew into
this. Nice.
Yeah, it was a nice church, nice people. The people that Willie's been doing this Life Surge is what it's called. And so it's kind of a Christian business organization. Yeah. The lady who started the Auntie Anne's pretzels, which are delicious.
Yes.
She was there and a lot of other people.
Me and Kay met her.
Mm-hmm.
And we met Nick Vucicic,
yeah,
I think it's his name. Amazing guy, just wonderful. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we had a good time there with those folks, and we did a little like Q&A with the three of us and Willie, and Benham interviewed us. But Willie seemed like he was having a big time.
Mm.
He laughed the whole time.
Yeah, how about the play-by-play coming home of the LSU game?
Yeah. We're watching the Alabama game, which congratulations to you Alabama fans. I didn't mention it last week, but they got us this year. But we were trying to watch the game on the plane coming home. We couldn't pick it up on the plane, so we had to just do a type-by-type, play-by-play.
Yeah, because he is the only one that could get it, the words
but
on
he was
his
getting
phone.
Yeah, he was just getting one of those updates on it, so he was kind of getting
it. But he did it like a real announcer. And then at the end.
But I was sick, so I was just kind of out of it. I mean, I had some kind of bad bug or something. So I was fighting through it. But
well, I was listening to him. It was like I was listening on TV. And then all of a sudden he just stopped. And I said, announcer, what's happening now? He said, Game over. We lost.
Once I noticed LSU fell by in two touchdowns in the second half, the play-by-play dried up.
Yeah.
You know, then it was.
Well, and then he just announced that we lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, and don't talk to the announcer again.
Right. So that, but that was fun being together again.
It was.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoyed that. Back in the day, we used to go every weekend somewhere and travel and speak. And
the four of us travel well together.
Yeah, but see, we sit together, and then he goes five seats up, and he sits there.
He didn't want to be bothered by talking. He wanted to be able to focus on the game.
That's well, let's just face it. He's always been different. I mean, he always does something like that.
Well,
like,
I offered my seat to him, and he's like, no, well, I'll sit right here.
He was the man that moved away. Remember, moved, couldn't live in the same house with us because he had to fix up
he
a house.
He moved out into the cook
Every
shack.
Weekend, he had a new home.
Yeah.
That he
How
would.
Many? That's a question. How many different places did he live in? I tell you, that'd be funny if we ever discussed that.
Well, yeah.
I love it because Kay used to, he would, quote, run away. He just went up on the hill.
Yeah.
Until always. He smelled Kay cooking something. And then it was like he would, you know,
ease
walk back,
back
with his tail between his legs, like, oh,
and just
that
like
food smells
ease
too
in,
good.
Like we didn't see him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then he's all
well, no matter how mad he was when he left, supper time drew him back in.
Every so time.
Exactly some right. things never change.
He would say, fan that door like that and get that chicken smell out there where I was frying chicken.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was going to say, Al, Phil was talking about that a while ago about people saying, oh, you shouldn't kill animals and eat them and, you know, you shouldn't do all that, but those are the same people who have no problem with us killing babies to term, you know?
Yeah,
we discussed that.
Yeah, it's
well, which actually
it's crazy.
Actually, that leads us to our text. Let's take another break. So we're always really proud of Unashamed Nation, just the way you guys support us. And that hasn't, I mean, that's been seen more clearly through the blind, maybe than anything we've done so far.
Yeah.
Dad, I think you can say now safely, because you weren't sure about it going in, that it's definitely was worth it to make the movie. Would you agree?
I was shocked, to tell you the truth about it, on the numbers.
And it was such a good shot because it's changed a lot of people's lives. Now it's available, of course, on digital. And Zach, that's probably a good thing, right? Because I know a lot of people have reached out to us wanting to use it in devotionals and, you know, house churches and church settings and Sunday school classes. So now you can actually have it yourself.
Oh, yeah. I get calls all the time. Hey, what's that? Give me the lines from this part of the movie or clips. Or I get those calls all the time. So now, yeah, you can purchase a digital copy on the Blaze.
That's exactly right. You can own it. You can use it however you want to continue to further the kingdom, which was our idea by making it. You don't have to subscribe to Blaze TV. You just go to blazetv.com/theblind to purchase it. On digital and then watch it instantly and have it available. Also, if you buy now, they're going to give you a code for 20% off all Unashamed, In the Woods, and The Blind merchandise only in Blaze TV stores. You get some really cool stuff and save you a little money for some Christmas gifts as well. So go to blazetv.com/theblind to watch The Blind today. So we left off with Jace and Zach in Luke 18:15. And so I'm going to read this text and us talk about this for the rest of the podcast, because it's just what Lisa just said. The idea about children and the protection of children. We had the same discussion with Kirk Cameron, too, because of what he's doing now with his books and all the stuff he's doing. But here's what the text says, Luke 18:15. People are also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. So it was like a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, where they would bring
it. We do that.
Yeah, we still do it. Yeah, bring it to the rabbi. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. So the disciples looked at what was going on, and we tried to kind of describe it in context. It was probably like, oh, he's too busy to be doing these little mundane blessings, you know. And but Jesus called the children to him and bring them on. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And so I was curious about that because, I mean, obviously, both of you and Mom, I grew up watching this. And then when Lisa and I first got married, we did house church together because we lived next door, that you were always kind of in charge of the kids.
Yeah.
Which you would always have, like in a house church setting, you'd have adults and kids, and we would be together, and then we'd usually sing and stuff together, and then the kids would go, and you'd either teach them or read them a book or whatever, and then the
sometimes, you know, we'd walk up the road and sing.
Yeah, you'd take them on a little, there in the summertime, yeah. Take them on little field trips.
Yeah.
So it was, kids were always a part of the proceedings, and we've joked about it that sometimes you'd have a bunch of kids that try to haul off all the toys, and
I had to go through their pockets for
that. You would have it's like a prison check when everybody leaves. You would have to empty all the pockets, make sure, right?
And I would take them out, and I'd say, "This stays. This go. You can have this. We can have this one.
That
this
pocket stays, knife. No.
Yeah. No.
He was policing the area.
Yeah, that's right. You had to make sure.
I did.
So that was always a part of it. Lisa did the same thing later when we were in town. But why is it important, you think, to think about the children, protect them, teach them? I mean, y'all have done it way more than Dad and I have because we were more adult-oriented. Our role was more teaching the adults. But why is that so important, you think? Why is it so important what Jesus was trying to get across in the in this context? What do y'all think?
Because children are so innocent. They're so innocent.
Yeah.
That's just what I think about every time. And I'm going to tell you something. I want to say this right quick, that Alan, you were a really special child. And I think
Thank you for recognizing that, Mom.
Yeah. Well,
so few have.
I totally agree.
Well, and here's the deal. And your brothers ought to kiss your feet because you actually
they should.
Yeah, you actually saved their life, took care of them, and they won't
Instead,
recognize
Instead, I get
it.
Nothing but grief.
I know, because they're so prideful. I'm sorry. I want to apologize for them right now. But I saw
Somebody mark this. What episode? 791.
Yeah.
The truth about Jason Willie.
I know. And the thing about it is Alan, when he was a boy, he had to help me so much because Phil wasn't the best person in the world. And really, I was so young that if Alan had been the boy he was, I just don't think I would have made it. I don't know what would have happened.
Mom and I talked about this with the movie. You know, it's a 90-minute film, so you can't include everything. But that was one of the things you and I both had talked about in interview with them was the bond that we shared.
That's right.
About taking care of the kids. And they couldn't leave everything in. We get it. But that is one of the things you weren't able to really see in the film that in life as we lived it was a big part of that because
well,
you depended
and
on me.
You had that relationship with Nanny, my grandma, that nobody else had. And she shared with you just like she shared with me. And you just learned her kindness and her love God. And yet she was just humble.
Yeah.
And yet we were probably the richest people in town. But we didn't act like it. And I would have gotten my face up for acting better than I was.
Haughty.
Yeah, I couldn't do that ever. I didn't do that. And it was because of her and because that's the way my mom and dad were. Just, you don't act like you have. You're not better than anybody else. Mm. Just because we have a store that's good and we make money and all, it's just. So I learned that. Mm. I really did. Because somebody would say, well, you don't even act like you have anything. And I said, yeah, I do. But I'm not going to act like that.
Which I thought that the early scenes in the movie when you were the child, Kay, did a pretty good job at that, showing how you, like, reached out to Dad's family and other little families there.
That's right.
Your mindset wasn't, because you were dressed nice and all that, wasn't that you looked down on anybody. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But she would always say, Nanny talked about how all the years they didn't have anything. They came in there and run that store with nothing. Lived in the back of the store with two children. And they didn't have walls. They just had, remember, I told you they had the,
partitions.
Where they hung the quilts and stuff to separate. Well, how would you like to grow up like that? And you have an outhouse for your bathroom out the back door.
Yeah.
I mean, they lived like that for 40 years.
Right, before they ever built a house.
That's right.
Yeah.
And yeah, they did build the first brick house in Ida. And that was really something.
Yeah.
But all that other time, nobody ever realized how bad they lived.
I think they've contacted her for a big sign like Willie and Bernice, where he was born.
Yep, born for Ida.
Yep, Miss
Kate. They're doing a mural of me and Ida.
And having a sign there for home of Miss Kay from Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, she's the only famous thing that ever come out of Ida, Louisiana.
Yeah, there's probably not a lot of famous people, Mom. You're the big deal from there. Who would have ever guessed?
I'm thrilled and honored.
Isn't that cool? And they're going to do it on the side of the store? Is that
somewhere. I don't know, because the store's not the store.
Well, I know they asked me for a picture in Vivian, somewhere around the high school, I think, a picture of the two of y'all.
Yeah,
as well. So, well, I guess that's one thing about a movie. I guess it does. People like want to mark that these people were from here.
I actually need to check with Becky, because I just went ahead and told them to send what picture they wanted to use to Becky up there, because I knew I could get it through her at Duck Commander, and me to approve. They want me to say this is okay.
At Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect weekend hiking trip or the perfect sunset. We cannot promise you'll make a new friend on the trail. It's certainly possible. We just can't guarantee it. And you probably shouldn't force it. But we can promise you this. With over 4,200 hotels worldwide, you can find a warm welcome and a comfortable room right on the way to where you're going. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
So how do you think your own childhood experiences, I mean, you mentioned it about yours growing up and the influence from your grandmother and how that, you know, kind of shaped you and how to view, how
you take care. Oh, it definitely did.
So what would you say, babe, your experiences? You had good ones. I mean, we kind of highlighted the bad ones in our story, but so I think you've probably been more protective of children.
Yeah.
Maybe is one of the reasons why, but I'm just
guessing. She used to go fishing with her grandma.
She did. That's right. I mean, you had great memories of that as well.
I really do. My grandmother was wonderful, and I stayed with her all the time, you know, anytime I was out of school. Yeah. And she, you know, we cooked together. She made a full breakfast every morning.
Yeah.
And if we had anything left over, you know, we would take it when we went fishing. But she was kind of like Kay's nanny. She cooked extra food.
That's right.
She never knew when somebody was going to come over. She had a huge family.
And Phil's grandmother actually did that too. Mama Hill, you remember?
Yeah.
But she didn't have real good food. But every day she would cook a big pan of biscuits. Nobody was there but her. And by noon, all the biscuits were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would put on a pot of beans, rice, and cornbread for supper. Nobody there. But by noon, by
she knew
supper,
they would come.
They would come, and that all the food would be gone. Well,
there's also a set of railroad tracks right behind her house.
She fed them for years.
So I'm assuming there was some of those back in the day. They called them hobos.
Oh, I remember the hobos.
But, you know, it's a little bit different situation, I guess. I mean, you're talking about post-Depression.
Yep.
You had a lot of men who didn't have work. Wasn't necessarily because they didn't want to work. It's because there was nothing. So I would call it maybe a better class of hobo. Is that a better way to say it?
And what I would say is, because I remember even helping Nanny take the plates out to give them a plate of food, and they would eat it. But I tell you what they'd be. They would be kind. They'd be humble.
Respectful.
And they'd be appreciative.
Yeah.
And they would thank you so much. Totally different from somebody who demands.
Well, I think now there's a lot of mental illness that goes along with people being homeless. Yeah. And so I think you just really can't trust that anymore to open up your back door and just let anybody come in.
And we didn't. We took the plate out there, which I remember that. They didn't come in. They actually ate out there by the porch.
Yeah, the hobos, the ones that rode the trains, they knew our house is where you get something to eat.
Right.
So Ma would tell them to go back in the back. They had to take a shower, a bath.
Yep.
You know, when they just walk up. But they was complete strangers.
Yeah.
But the house had a reputation of you could get a meal there.
Generosity.
So all of them knew where it was. So just, it was a trickle of them all the time.
Yeah.
They would get off the train. They'd have a meal. You know, some old guy one time, we had, I think, squirrel and dumplings or squirrel and something. And we had a big meal. And I said, is that the best thing you ever eat in your life? He said, nah, it ain't much. Ma said, yeah, you but don't think it ain't much. You ate two plates for – she was having an argument with one of them.
It ain't much.
We call them hobos.
Yeah.
He wasn't that appreciative.
No, he wasn't appreciative.
Of his fine meal. Yeah. But she lined him out.
That's terrible.
Well, he could have fooled me because he sure ate a lot.
I know. I hated people like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't appreciate it.
But there was no fear there.
Right.
Yeah. No fear.
Yeah.
That would have been in
that's
the
what's amazing.
60s, mm-hmm. early 70s, six, or 60s, late 50s.
Yeah. And I would say that's probably, it's much more fearful now, as oh, we've yeah. said, when you think about, but it's not even the same mm-mm. scenario, really. It's something totally different. Now it's more the homeless people.
And yep. I think another thing that, you know, he was talking about when he said, don't hinder them, you know, let them come, is because they're the future. You know, the disciples wanted to let more important people
yeah.
up to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He didn't deem them important.
That's right.
Jesus said, no, no, no. These are the most important people right here, these little children, yep. because they're our future. You know, they're going to take over whenever you disciples are gone. So
the way I put it, babe, on the when we talked about this on the other with podcast with Jason and Zach was that they tended to be, like a lot of people are, two-dimensional in their thinking, only thinking of past and present. Mm-hmm. But you're right.
Yeah.
Jesus is three-dimensional,
yeah. mm-hmm.
past, present, and future, mm-hmm. yeah. knowing that you can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you can be anything, especially in him. And so this idea about that which is impossible made possible yeah. is the kind of concept.
And, you know, to go even further with that, even though, you know, things happen to children whenever they're young, things that, you know, that are terrible, sexual abuse, but also physical abuse. I mean, you know, a lot of things happen to kids. But what I love is that you're not defined by that.
Yep.
You do not have to be defined by that. If you follow Christ, he can take all of that away.
Yep.
And he can make your future like that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
He uses that. He uses those bad things to make your future even brighter. And so, like you said, that three-dimensional, I mean, he saw that, you know, these kids are our future. And even our kids now, and even the ones, you know, that bad things happen to, they're still our future.
Yeah.
This, I mean, we need to get them help. We need to get counseling. But they're not defined by that. They're not ruined, you know, because in Christ, we all have, you know,
a start over.
A future. That's right. And start we can, over. That's right. We can all start over.
And it makes you want to be protective as well.
That's right.
The same context in Matthew 18, but he adds a little bit different wording. Matthew does. He said, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea, which is a very mm-hmm. graphic, poignant picture. Mm-hmm. That and Jesus didn't use a lot of language like that. So mm-hmm. he reserved it for something very serious. But in other words, he says, if you harm children,
mm-hmm.
especially to pull them away, because you mentioned it about the past. Think about all the kids that undergo difficult situations, maybe a broken family, maybe sexual abuse, maybe something that someone else perpetrated on them. It's not their mm-hmm. fault.
That's right.
But then they have to deal with it, that then don't find their way out.
That's right.
And we see that all the time, right? Miserable, mm-hmm. terrible mm-hmm. continuation of what they grew up in. And according to Jesus, I mean, the ones who causes that and who cause that, not good.
Well, you know, a lot of these people that are in these schools are in businesses that are shooting people. They can trace that all the way back, and they've had a traumatic event yep. somewhere in their childhood, and that could possibly be the reason, you know, something that just broke in their mind.
Well, I think about this, the person last year, the trans person.
I finally found it.
Oh, you found it?
I finally found it about the children.
He's been looking for a verse this whole podcast.
Yep. Matthew 18, verse 10. Now listen to this, because this is catchy. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, these children. He said, don't look down on them. For I tell you that their angels, mm-hmm. these children's angels,
mm-hmm.
I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. That's quite the text.
So quite, what is it, Matthew? What?
That's Matthew 18:10.
You had it in your
verse
notes.
Verse 10.
Yeah.
In other words, they see the face of God in heaven. So when these children that you think you're done with, not true.
Right.
Their spirits are still alive.
Yeah.
Their bodies may be down on earth. They slaughter them. Then all that happens. He said their angels in heaven have their eyes on God.
No, that's good. So we're out of time. Man, that went by fast. I mean, it's a good podcast. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'm glad Dad found that in our overtime segment, if y'all can stay over with us. If you want to come over, blazetv.com/unashamed. It's always good having the ladies
on the
podcast. You want to hear a little bit more from the wives, come check us out in our overtime segment.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.